Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two of a radio program we like to call Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Stratford, George Kurtz with you for the next hour leading up to college football today. You'll want to stay tuned for that as the guys get you ready for the world of college football. 10 to 10 a.m. They'll be live here and on the stream. So, as always, we continue on talking about week number 10, getting a breakdown from George on plays here, Jaguars, Colts. I think you make the right point, which team shows up for Jacksonville, which defense shows up. I'm not really sure that from a DFS perspective, I really have any pieces from this contest. It does seem as though the Colts have everyone healthy, or at least mostly healthy from a wide receiver perspective. Any love for a T.Y. Hilton or some of these other guys who could have some upside for the Colts if the bad Jacksonville Jaguars show up?
Well, I have T.Y. in a couple of leagues. I'm starting him because I can't sit him. I can't justify sitting him, but I'm not expecting much. I'm not. I think Ramsey will do a decent job on him. Plus Hilton, I assume he's over the hammy. You know, he's recovered from it, but he hasn't looked good really for the past month. So you're hoping the bye week allowed that to heal here. Now, both these teams are coming off a bye, so they should be somewhat healthy here. So I'm starting him because I can't justify not doing it. Not in my teams. Maybe you can in your league, but I'm keeping my expectations in check. I think with T.Y., I'm going to need that big play. You know, to pay off fantasy-wise, I need that big play. Him to catch a 40-yard touchdown, something like that. That'll justify it. Other than that, you know, listen, you're starting Marlon Mack. He's a running back, too. He's another guy, though. Man, would it be nice to get off the injury report one week where I didn't have to worry about you from Monday to Thursday and then find out on Friday you're going to play? He's always banged up, and I wonder if that's going to be a career thing with Marlon Mack, because he's not built really to be that every-down running back in the NFL. So that concerns me somewhat. I picked up Jack Doyle everywhere. He was available. Not because I needed a tight end. I didn't. Just too good a player not to pick up, and I wasn't giving him to my competition for free. So Jack Doyle is someone I have in a lot of leagues. Not necessarily starting him, even though I think he'll be okay tomorrow. Maybe I think he might be the main target tomorrow for Andrew Luck. Once again, big target over the middle. I think Doyle takes over that starting job from Eric Ebron. Ebron was good earlier in this year, but I think now that Doyle's back and Doyle's healthy, he's proven in the past that he is Luck's BFF.
He is, in fact, one to keep an eye on as this season continues on. Good to see him healthy. And again, this point in the year, everyone in the NFL is mostly healthy. I don't think there's anyone who's 100%, but good to see the Colts coming off the bye with their offensive pieces here intact, which could make this a intriguing game from a spread perspective, I think, and from an over-under perspective that I sitting at 46.5 right now. -3 in favor of the Colts at home here. Any love for a wager here? Anything that you think maybe it goes over? This 46.5 over under.
I'm not in love with the wagering line here at all. And generally when I say that means I think they got it right. Right, I don't see anything here that says, hey, bet one side or the other here. -3, pretty much you're giving the whole field advantage to the Colts, and I would agree there. I think this is a pretty even game here, both coming off that bye, so no one gets the advantage there. I mean, no, I'm not touching it here. If I had to, generally when in doubt, I go with the home team. All right, I mean, that's a smart play there, and I would think the under here, but I'm not loving it. I'm just not. I could see some defensive touchdowns in this game. Burrow's making that mistake, turning the ball over. And even if it's not touchdowns, maybe giving the ball away deep in their own territory to make it easy touchdowns for the other team's offense. But bottom line is, I'm not touching it. But once again, you forced me to, I'll take Indianapolis in the under.
All right, and I did force you to. I appreciate you coming with that take. I kind of This is one of those games that I think can go over. And I agree with you. It feels like they're a pretty solid line here that seems in line. But I'm trying to find games that, exceed Vegas and maybe surprise some people. It is a lower total week here with some of the matchups, some of the better offenses against some not so great teams. So you have a lower total overall. But this is one that, looking at it and seeing the Jaguars could potentially have some struggles on defense, I think this could be a bigger scoring game. And thus, now I look back, I may have some pieces from that Colts offense in daily fantasy that maybe get some upside and bring back. I don't know if it's Fournette, though. That's tough. I don't know who I would play on the Jaguars side if I'm trying to stack this game. Probably stay away from it from a game stack perspective. But nonetheless, let's continue on as we talk through week number 10, where you're done with Colts and Jaguars. We have Cardinals and Chiefs up next. Kansas City, have you looked at this? Excuse me. Have you looked at this line as of yet, George?
17.
It's amazing.
17. They want you to bet on Arizona. They want you to. Mm-hmm. They're begging you to. You know, and I still can't do it. Arizona's clear of a bye, too. I mean, everything's pointing to take the plus 17. Everything. But it's at home. It's in KC. They're scoring points by the truckload. If it was in Arizona, I think I could. I might be able to take the 17 points. It's in KC, though. I mean, Dan, they're begging you to. And yeah, I love to take the points in these situations, even though I bit it last week when I took Buffalo on the points. I still can't do it. I'm sorry, I can't bet against KC right now. I think they're going to score 40. So, I mean, if you take the 17, do you think the Cardinals can score at least 24? I don't know if they can. Yeah, even though I think they will have some success on offense tomorrow because, you know, I think Fitzgerald looks like he's completely healthy now, had the big game last week. He looks like he's back into the flow of things. Christian Kirk, I think, is an interesting fantasy play tomorrow. Johnson, of course, you're starting, even though I understand they really haven't figured out a way to get him the ball yet. And it sounds all roses for Arizona, but the bottom line is, can they stop KC at all? I mean, at all. And no one else has. Cardinals are an okay defense. They're not a bad defense, but it's not the 86 Bears here either. No, I think of you once again. I don't think I'd have the nuts to put 17 down, but if I had to, it would be KC here. I just think that, once again, that right now this is a runaway train. And I don't know if NFL has figured out, if anyone's figured out how to really truly slow them down. Denver has sort of done it, slowed them down, but really not even completely yet. I'll take KC in the over.
It's 17, minus 16 and a half, I'm seeing as a live number, but still a gigantic one. 49 and a half as the over under. I am playing David Johnson in DFS this week. One, obviously, they're going to be trailing, so they're going to have to throw the ball. So I'm hoping that they get him as a pass catcher to be a viable option. And 6,800 over there on DraftKings is just a price point. I know he's disappointed. I know this offense has been bad. But that price point is one that I'll try to exploit a little bit. Probably have David Johnson, Aaron Jones, and a lot of my starting lineup construction. I haven't fully made lineups as of yet, but I do really like David Johnson as a potential on the Cardinal side. From a DFS perspective, are you starting with Mahomes again? Is this another week where just start with Mahomes and move on from there? Or do you feel as though this Cardinals defense is okay enough that we may not see the explosive numbers from Holmes, just, you know, the pedestrian 350 yards and three touchdowns?
I mean, listen, DFS wise, nothing changes. I start with Mahomes. I think I said this last week. I don't have a choice right now. I don't like taking the plays, the obvious plays. You know, generally I do want to take some, I want low ownership on people, but he's throwing, that's a bad game for him. 350 and three touchdowns seems to be a bad game for him. I mean, I got to start with Mahomes and go from there. I don't feel like I have a choice here. Yeah, I just don't. I think, for a while there for me, it was start Mahomes, start Thielen, start Gurley. Now, I stayed away from Thielen last week because I wasn't surprised without Diggs. Once Diggs was out, that Thielen was going to have a tough game here. Gurley had his worst game last week, and he still had a touchdown and 19 fantasy points. I don't think Seattle is going to be able to really do much against him this week. So I think, once again, I'm starting Mahomes, I'm starting Gurley, and I'll work from there.
We will see how roster construction comes together with those two players as We talked through this one. Obviously, just gigantic upside for the Chiefs each and every week. It's an obvious moment where no reason to stay away, per se. But let's go from this game, George, to next, talking Bills and Jets. Oh, the NFL, what you do to us. The New York Jets are a minus seven favorite over the Bills. It will be the Nathan Peterman experience again this week in Buffalo. Derek Anderson out. Josh Allen making his way back potentially from that elbow issue. The Jets have Sam Darnold in a walking boot, a sprained foot. I still haven't seen where it happened or when it happened. I don't know if that note came out at any point. And I haven't seen as of yet, is Darnold going to be active? I know they were making mention that he might be active for this game as the backup, but we're going to get Josh McCown back under center for New York. This is going to be an ugly football game, George. But there might be some fantasy pieces here. Anything worthwhile on this contest for you?
No. How about no? I mean, the worst part about this is you have to watch it. I mean, living in New York, but this game will be on the CBS, so we're going to have to watch this game. I have three TVs, but you know, two of those TVs have to have the static game, a local game here, and so I have to watch this game. It'll be on the TV that's furthest away from my eyesight that I could possibly find, because this game's going to set football back a couple of decades. I mean, this is a game where I wish there was a baseball hockey game on at the same time, we'd be watching that instead of this game. But yeah, this is going to be brutal. I mean, I don't know how Nathan Peterman is still in the NFL. I don't. And I don't want to, you know, you don't want to beat up on the player, but he's terrible. And he really is terrible. I don't know what they've ever seen in him to make him think that he's a could possibly be an NFL quarterback. So, Shane Donald's not playing in this game. Maybe he could have done something. But, you know, Buffalo's defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe more than pretty good. You know, this is a good defense that could actually win some games for you, and maybe they can pull it out tomorrow. But the bottom line is this. With Peterman at quarterback for Buffalo, assuming he does start, there's no one I want him, including McCoy. Because Peterman is not scaring anybody. It's pretty much like you and me behind center there. We're not going to scare anybody with throwing the ball down the field. So they're going to load up and gang up on McCoy. So I understand maybe you have to put him in as a flex. Maybe you don't have a choice here. But if I had a decent player, I'm going in another direction over McCoy tomorrow. I just don't see anything there. Jets have a good defense themselves. So on the Jets side, McCown's a quarterback. You're certainly not starting him. Crowell, like I said, Buffalo's a decent defense. Crowell's more of a flex play for me. Low-end running back, too. Receivers, Anunua, Robbie, they're all flex plays. There's nobody. Bottom line is this. There's nobody I want to get into my lineup tomorrow. It really comes down to there's no one else I can put in. You know, okay, I'm going to have to go to these guys because I don't think much is going to come out of this where you're going to get good fantasy points from anybody here. What was the Jets-Miami score last week? 13-6, no touchdown except for a defensive touchdown. That wouldn't shock me in the least. And DST, you need a DST this week. I mean, at one point it was take the Jets and the Bills. Now it's really just the Jets because I think McCown actually might do some damage, a little bit of damage here. But with Donald in there, you could have counted on a couple of turnovers there. But the Jets are actually a very good, in my mind, a top five DST this week, and they should be picked up there in your league. And you need, especially if you need a streamer here, if you have any doubts about your DST, you should be grabbing the Jets this week.
It's going to be, and you make mention of the fact that in the New York area, you have to watch this game. I will have to watch this game because I root for one of the teams, unfortunately, but it's going to be an ugly one. I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Robbie Anderson doubtful this week. Some people wanted to say, well, McCown and Anderson had chemistry last year, and this could be a big week for Anderson. Well, I don't think we're going to find out simply because of the injury. You do have Quincy Enunwa back. And I guess Jermaine Kearse is going to be the other wide receiver here. Nothing really worthwhile, I don't think, in this game that other than some opportunity to try some beverages while watching it, because I think I'm going to need them. Because it's going to be bad.
The needs of adult beverages, that's for sure.
That is the implication there, my friend. Going to figure out how to drown the old sorrows when it comes to being a Jets fan. But at least I'm not a Giants fan, so there's that. Washington, I'd obviously take Super Bowl wins at some point in my lifetime, but nonetheless, Sam Darnold or bust at this point. Washington at Tampa Bay is up next. It's the Buccaneers and the Redskins. This Redskins offensive line continues to deal with injuries. Obviously, that's going to be a concern coming into this game for the running backs. I believe Chris Thompson already ruled out for week 10, if I do remember correctly. What do you got here, George? Is this offensive pieces from the Tampa Bay side? Or are they full go? How do you see this one shaking out?
All right. How I see this one shaking out here? Ta-ching is pretty much how I see this shaking out here. I mean, I think it was Bill Barnwell of ESPN pointed out some of the stats on this Tampa Bay defense that could prove it's one of the worst pass defenses ever. It is that bad here. The problem is, well, Washington doesn't really have a lot to take advantage of. Right? I mean, Alex Smith, who are you starting him over? I mean, how bad would your quarterback one have to be to put Alex Smith over him this week? So I don't know if I'm going there. Washington also has, what, at least three members of their offensive line out, maybe four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even a bad defense is going to take advantage of that. I don't know if Adrian Peterson can get started tomorrow. And the problem is also this. If a Tampa Bay scoring points, that takes Peterson out anyway because he's not going to be a big time. They're not going to be able to run the ball. They've got to throw the ball to stay in this game. So there's a lot of intriguing things going on here tomorrow. You look at Washington. An under-the-radar pickup would be Maurice Harris, who had a big game last week.
Yep.
Once again, Jamison Crowder looks iffy, last I've checked, when he's going to play. We know Richardson's on IR. Doxon hasn't done anything. He's been very quiet. So Harris could be a nice, sneaky pickup for you to play this week against this bad Buccaneers secondary. He did have, 12 catches for 124 yards last week or something silly like that? Came out of nowhere to do this damage. So I think Harris could have another big game here. If Crowder plays tomorrow, this may be more of a DFS play than anything else, but he might be somebody I have to put in my lineup just because, once again, bad defense that he's going to get his opportunity. So I think Tampa Bay is going to score points here. You know, Atlanta put up 350 yards via the pass versus Washington last week against what's supposed to be a good Washington pass defense at home. I mean, you say what you want about Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I agree with everything you're going to say negatively about him. He is really a very good backup. He's going to make his mistakes, but the volume is going to be there, right? He's going to throw the ball. So Tampa Bay, once again, starting Evans. Fitzpatrick is top 10 for me again. You know, Godwin has to be in consideration. DeSean Jackson has to be in consideration. Howard is by easily a top 10 tight end.
Next segment, we will take your phone calls, 844-843-6879. Dan Strafford, George Kurtz. It's Fantasy Sports Today right here on FNTSY Radio.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Halfway through the NFL season, DailyRoto.com's NFL Optimizer has already produced millions in winnings for its subscribers, including multiple winners in the hundreds of thousands and a $1 million winner. With the NBA in full swing, the DailyRoto.com NBA Lineup Optimizer is now available, and subs are crushing in nightly basis there. If you're hooked, you can now buy the DailyRoto.com Elite Package, giving you access year-round to the suite of successful tools and projections that DailyRoto.com subscribers have been using to print money in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, and PGA Daily Fantasy. And when you sign up for the Elite Package, you'll get the new NFL betting tools they've rolled out, including against the spread, money line, game totals, and player props. So head on over to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and check out what the Elite Package has to offer. If you don't have a problem with winning money year-round, you're going to love it. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. I'm with you on Tampa Bay here, George, and I just... Can Alex Smith throw it to where the defense, you know, the secondary is? Like, can he get it downfield to take advantage of a bad secondary? I don't know. I don't believe in Smith. I know he's had some big weeks at times this season, but I can't really get there. I probably won't have much of him. We do go to the phones, and the phones are open. Don't forget here on Fantasy Sports Today, Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz, and Kenny from Philly. You're on with Dan and George. How you doing today?
How you doing, Dan? How you doing, Georgie?
What's going on, Ken? So shocking to hear from you on a Saturday morning.
I know, right? It's amazing. How about that? How about Julio Jones finally getting in? I mean, they celebrated like they won the Super Bowl. When Julio Jones getting in the end zone, man. That was.
I'm sure they don't want to hear about it anymore either, just like we didn't want to hear about it. I'm sure that, you know, it gets the monkey off their back now.
Pretty much. Hey, George, you're on fire this morning, man. You're taking all my plays here. You got the Jets defense is a freaking lock this week. And if he plays, y'all were talking about Alex Smith. It's crazy because I love Jamison Crowder, and I actually like either Vernon Davis or maybe Jordan Reed, but you can't play Alex Smith. I can't press the button. I can't press the button for Alex Smith, man.
I think that's the problem for all of us, Kenny. I think just the way you put it, I just can't make that move. I can't put Smith in my lineup either, even though everything tells you that, you know, Tampa Bay, I said mentioned Bill Barnwell of ESPN went all the stats that Tampa Bay's pass defense is maybe the worst ever. And I still can't put Alex Smith in my lineup. It's not just him. It's the offensive line. It's the lack of great receivers, too. But it's also it's Alex Smith.
All right, I got two revenge games here. One of them I'm pretty sure you guys are going to be all over. But, of course, I've got D-Jax playing against Washington, so I'll have him in a couple of lineups. And the other one is of course, Deion Lewis, of course. He's been on a tear here, and I think he's going to, you know, we got the revenge factor here. And in order to get off, since we don't want to play Alex Smith, what you do is you'll put Crowder maybe in the lineup and then put Jordan Reed or Vernon Davis in other lineups instead of trying to sack the game. I know that's what we want to do, but if we can still get the players and the points, that's all that really matters here. And in order to get, you know, if you're going to go big time at quarterback, like, you know, Tom Brady, of course, you can probably pair him with a Gordon with all the injuries and all that, and then just put Deion Lewis on the other side. So, but this week for my Saints, I'm thinking it's going to be a heavy run game. I don't see it's doing a lot of passing outside, so maybe you might want to throw Mark Ingram in the mix with because, you know, he fumbled last week, and, you know, Sean Payton's mad at him. And last time Sean Payton was mad at him, I think he had like 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, and then, like I said, it's going to be outside. So I'm actually going to pivot off of Kamara and go Ingram. And then, you know, the other three top running backs, I'm actually going to try to get two or three of them in there. You know, Hunt, Gordon, and Gurley or whatever. Sure. I'm liking Gordon, but, you know, you got for the blowout factor, I'm playing the Raiders and with the guy behind him, whatever, might take some carries or whatever. So,
Eakler.
Yeah. Eckler. I actually like Mitchell Trubisky. I'm going to pay down here this week at quarterback. I like Trubisky and T.B. Brady, of course, and everybody going to be all over Rivers and, you know, San Diego versus Oakland or whatever. So, what do you guys think?
I think I like Trubisky a lot as maybe an under-owned middle-of-the-pack quarterback this week. I like the Ingram call. I hadn't really gone there just simply because there are other running backs I like, but I do think, I was talking about it before, outside, it's a little bit of a different team, and you're going to have to run the ball a little bit more. So I like that call, getting Ingram into some lineups, and definitely think there's some touchdown equity there.
This week, there isn't any for sure plays. Like, you guys are touching on Kansas City and Arizona. I wouldn't test that spread. You remember when Buffalo and Minnesota, the spread was 16 points, and you saw what happened. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't see that happen in Kansas City, but I would actually play Kansas City's defense, actually. So it's like it's a smorgasbord of players this week. I mean, I'm all over the running backs. Mixon, I'll have him in versus my Saints. Of course, I think in order for the Bengals to win, unfortunately, this guy that has hands for feet will have to be an asset, and that's unfortunately the guy for the Bengals, Ross. We don't do good against those small, speedy receiver kind of guys. So he's actually been cleared to play. So in order for them to even have a chance, I think he'll have to be affected. And like I said, he's cheaper on DK. The only other thing, the defense, Jacksonville, the Jets, the Bears, of course, Kansas City, and outside, shout out to New Orleans, outside playing against Andy Dalton. So that's all I got, guys. I know you guys got to continue with the show. I'll be listening, fellas.
Kenny,
thank you. I appreciate the
We're going to have to get you a sponsor for your segment here, man. We're going to have to figure it out. But, thanks for calling in, man. We'll talk to you again probably next week, I would assume, during week 11 talk. Yep. We go back to the phones as Kenny goes. We go back to Pennsylvania, and it's Mike from Pennsylvania on with Dan and George. Fantasy Sports Day, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Dan and George?
Good.
Got one quick question for you. I got to start two of the three running backs that I'm going to name: Sony Michel, Tevin Coleman, and Marlon Mack. Who do I sit?
I would be sitting Michel most likely, but George, what do you got?
You know, I've gotten several questions this week that are just like this. It's funny. And they've all involved Michel and two other good running backs here. And as Dan said, I'm sitting Michel, and the only reason I'm doing it is you have two good backs other than Michel. Why take the chance that he doesn't play a full complement of snaps or gets re-injured or anything like that? I do think he's the best back out of these three, but in this situation, coming back from injury, and it's also not a good match against Tennessee, I don't see a reason why you need to gamble here. I'll go with Coleman and Mack.
Hey, sounds great. That's what I'm going to do.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. Call back again in the future.
Thank you, guys, man.
Good luck in week number 10.
All right.
I think Georgie nailed it. Why take the risk? And it's funny you say, why gamble? Well, we're gambling every week. But hey, a little bit of a different gamble.
Dun, dun.
Let's continue.
Yeah, I'm generally risk-averse at fantasy. I don't take too many chances. Not when I have good options. And he has Coleman, big game last week. Marlon Mack, you should be starting here every week anyway. I know it's not the greatest matchup for him either here, but that's generally the way I look at things here. Michel, I think, is the best back out of this trio, but I don't like to roll the dice if I don't have to.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I tend to be a very... low-risk owner when it comes to fantasy. Try to find the best floor possible and go from there when it comes to season-long, especially DFS, obviously a bit of a different horse of a different color, as you might say. Let's continue on in our game-by-game. I believe we finally made it to the 4 o'clocks. Let's see, Colonel, yes. Chargers and Raiders, you heard Kenny talking about that one. Another double-digit spread here with minus 10 of... Chargers, Raiders. Raiders are 1-7. They're going nowhere fast. A 50 over under. Chargers pieces obviously are full go. Do you see anything from the Raiders side or anything to make you feel like sitting someone from the Chargers? What do you got in this matchup?
Oh, this is another game where if you have a Charger on your roster and you're not starting him, why is he on your roster? I mean, really, why? Who aren't you starting on the Chargers? Rivers goes. He should have a big game. Gordon obviously goes. Allen obviously goes. Tyrell Williams has to go for me here. I understand. Tyrell Williams is interesting. If you don't look into his numbers, you think he's, oh, wow, automatic. Well, not really. Yes, he has four touchdowns in his last three games, but they're coming on. Pretty much every target is in the end zone. He's catching it for a touchdown. Other than that, he's not doing much.
Right.
Between once again, he's a big play target there, and he's catching all those targets, four touchdowns. But it's not like he's being targeted nine times a game or catching seven passes. He's not. So be careful here, but I can't sit him against the Raiders. I can't do it. Mike Williams is in consideration here as well. Even though, once again, he's almost the same problem, but less, even less targets than Tyrell Williams. But if he's on your roster, yeah, I'm going with him here. The Raiders don't want to win. You know, they don't. They're playing for that number one pick. You know, maybe grab a top quarterback in Holbert if they're lying about believing in Carr, which I think they are.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to win a game here. They really don't. You know, they're big 49ers fans on Monday night to knock the Giants out of the race for that number one pick. So, like I said, I'm starting all my Chargers. The Raiders, I mean, once starting running back, you may have to start Doug Martin. I probably still like Jalen Richard more because of PPR. He'll catch the ball. They'll be trailing. They're going to have to throw the ball here. I don't know if I trust any of their wide receivers. You want to start Nelson? It really comes down to what else you have. The volume will be there. They're going to have to throw. You know, like I said, I think they'll be trailing by multiple points here. I'm laying the points here. I'll give the 10.5 and take the Chargers here. So they're going to have to throw the ball here. But that doesn't make me like Nelson or Bryant all that much more. Once again, it comes down to who else you have on your roster here. I could see Nelson being a flex in a PPR league. But as we've seen each and every week, just because they throw the ball more doesn't mean these guys are going to get good fantasy points. It seems to be up, down, up, down. You don't know what you're going to get here, which is not shocking. Bad team.
Not shocking at all as we talk through. I think they have to take a quarterback, right? I don't see how this team moves forward with the situation there under center. And I think a lot of it's because of Gruden and how bad they've been. But I just you have to go tabula rasa here. You have to clear the slate and move on with the way they've been playing. Obviously, I guess the Giants are the threat, right, to take a quarterback if they get the first pick. So it might be a little bit of a race to the bottom here.
Giants are definitely taking a quarterback, right? They can't pass up on a quarterback again. I hope they would, but they can't. My God, they can't. Right? I mean,
maybe there's like a left tackle that they can draft.
It would be great theater. Great theater in New York if they passed on it again. But no, I think but the one thing about the Raiders, and I think I've talked to you about this before, and once it, you'd have to assume, believe that Gruden truly believes in Carr, right. And I don't think he does. So I think he is taking a quarterback if he gets number one. But if they didn't, they would certainly trade out of it to a team that does want to take him, and that would be multiple more number. Right. I mean, they could easily have 8 number one picks in 3 years.
Yep.
You know, that easily, but they got the picks from the Lions, the picks from the Bears, pick from the Cowboys, and then whatever new team they traded with. They could easily have 8 number one. So they could, but that is if you truly believe in Derek Carr as your franchise quarterback. And I think Gruden is saying all the right things here, but in the end, I think he knows, you know, Carr's not the man, and whoever they draft at number one this year would be their quarterback right. going into Vegas.
That makes a ton of sense to me. Any interest in this over under or the spread? I mean, -10 is again a pretty big number to get on here, but is this one that piques your interest at all?
Yeah, because I think the Chargers wipe them out. I mean, I think I'll lay the points here. I'll take the Chargers here. The over under at 50, that's a little tougher for me because you just don't know what Raiders team you're going to get. I mean, right. Nick Mullins lit this team up last week. Nick Mullins, you know, come on. That's a joke. So I don't know. I just don't know what the Raiders are going to show up. They didn't show up against the 49ers, and that's technically a rivalry game in Bay Area. Both teams, like Giants and Jets, when they play together, right? And yet they still didn't show up. So I don't trust the Raiders at all here. I wouldn't touch the over-under. I do think the Chargers could easily score 37-38 all on their own. Even the 40s wouldn't shock me here. So I'm not asking much from the Raiders here, but that's how much I still don't trust the Raiders. Even though I think the Chargers are scoring 35 minimum. I don't know if the Raiders can score 17, 18 points to make that over the over come in here. No, so I'm not touching the over-under, but I'll lay 10.5.
It is trying to project any sort of offense here for the Raiders is a little bit difficult. The Chargers defense isn't great, but they've been really solid. They've had some injuries and some pieces that move in and out, but I can't see the Raiders putting up more than 10 points. I just think they're that bad right now. And I just don't see it as a big upside. So I'm with you on staying away from the over-under. Obviously, stranger things have happened. I don't want to bet the under here in any way, but we'll stay away from the total. But -10 is a big number, too. I don't know if I'm going to get on board there, but I do think it'll be a fun game to watch for Chargers fans and for fantasy owners. Philip Rivers will probably be very popular when it comes to daily fantasy. One more 4 p.m. game, realizing I did the Dolphins Packers early before, but one more 4 p.m., and that's Seahawks and Rams. The Rams are -9 here. They are 8-1 now on the year, obviously losing last week to New Orleans. Seahawks 4-4, sort of fighting for their lives here, trying to keep hope alive for a potential berth into the playoffs via the wild card. The Rams have a lot of pieces here, and each week I wonder how they're going to feed everybody, and yet it seems like it's done over and over again. The way McVay runs this offense is just a delight to watch for the National Football League. On the other side, the Seahawks really trying to just be a running team, and that means the likes of Mike Davis are getting tons of carries. What do you got here? Is this a matchup that you like from the Seattle side? Do you think there's some upside to a Doug Baldwin or a Russell Wilson, or do you see this as only a game to roll out your Los Angeles Rams owns?
Well, Seattle's banged up, right? Chris Carson probably not going to play 50-50 at best, but he didn't practice all week. I don't think he plays. Baldwin now has a groin injury now he came up with last week. So you wonder if that hampers him. He doesn't have an injury designation, so that's a good sign here. But groin, knee, certainly scary somewhat going in there. I mean, you're starting Russell Wilson. They're going to have to throw the ball a ton. And Wilson did run some last week, Dan, right? Mm-hmm. Finally, he got 41 yards on the ground here, so he took off a little bit. That's what we need from him fantasy-wise. And I think he has to do that again. I think the Rams score almost at will in this game. I mean, Seattle defense has not been poor, and they've actually been better against the pass than the run. That's strange coming in. Not that we thought they'd be bad against the run, but we thought they'd be poor against the pass. you know, losing all Rich Sherman and all the other guys. They lost in the Legion of Boom, Earl Thomas, obviously out for the season. We thought they'd have issues against the pass. I'm sure they will on Sunday because everyone has issues against the Los Angeles passing game. I'm starting everybody on my Rams. I mean, that, and that's every week, by the way. You really don't need to ask that. We know that. The Seahawks are more interesting. Mike Davis, I prefer over Chris Carson this week pretty easily here. The passing game, I mean, if Baldwin plays, yeah, you're probably starting him, but I'm worried about him. I've dropped him to wide receiver 3, flex category, because of the injuries, because I'm not sure he can play the entire game, won't make the entire game.
Right.
If he was healthy, he'd be a wide receiver 2, because I think the volume will be there. Tyler Lockett, you know, he had a big first game against this team, so you're hoping he does it again here, catches a long touchdown. It's a possibility. They're going to have to put the ball up in the air an awful lot.
Yep, I'm with you on Mike Davis this week. I think it's a spot that I think you're going to at least have to take a look at, and I think Brandon Cooks is the wide receiver that has the biggest week for the Los Angeles Rams, but honestly, you could see Copper Woods easily exceed that, but I like Cooks the most out of all of them. We're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys in our final segment, their Sunday night game. It's one to talk about against the Philadelphia Eagles. Playoffs on the line. Playoffs! Anyway, we'll be back right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Plenty still to talk about as we talk through any wagers that we may have missed along the way and talk some daily fantasy as well as this Sunday night football game, Cowboys at Eagles. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz, talking with you about Week 10 in the NFL right here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
If this song doesn't get the blood pumping there, George, I don't know what song's going to for you on any given day. Is this part of your... Yeah, I know you're a gym guy. You work out with music on? Is this a song that makes its way into your rotation?
I do work out with music on, and it is a song that makes its way into my rotation, of course. Once again, I'm a Yankee fan as well, so that certainly helps there.
It does. Obviously, the great Mariano Rivera used to run in from the bullpen to this song to close out Yankee games. To you youngins who may not know who... I'm kidding. I know you guys know who Mo Rivera is. Let's close out our show by talking about your Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. Looking at 40, what do we got? 43.5 here as our over-under. Implied totals of 25.5 for the Eagles, 18 for the Dallas Cowboys, minus 7.5 for the Eagles. The spread, listen, this is an intriguing game to me, George. I know it is for you as a fan. You're hoping that some magic happens and the Cowboys can figure some things out. Or maybe you're not. You're looking for better draft picks. I don't know. But what do you got here?
Traded the draft pick away, Dan!
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's my bad. That's really bad. So you're hoping they're winning at this point. There are trade implications, guys who've come in, obviously on both teams here over the course of the year. What do you got here? Is this one that, at least from an Eagles standpoint, you're intrigued to see what Golden Tate does? What do you got in this contest?
Well, first, let me go on my little rant about the NFL and their scheduling.
Sure.
And this is not because I'm a Cowboy fan. I believe the Cowboys would be lucky to win 5-6 games total this season. But the NFL, in its infinite wisdom, let's have a big divisional game. And this is before the season started, this was considered to be a big divisional game. Mm-hmm. Dallas was supposed to be in a chance to win the division. Let's have a big divisional game being played after one team has a Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll go on the road the next week against a team coming off a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, once again, this is idiotic to me in the NFL. You don't have a divisional game with one of these teams coming up a bye week. It's inherently unfair. And then the other team played on Monday night, so they're coming up a short week. How does this make any sense? And listen, I know in the NFL they don't care about anything. You know, if they did, they wouldn't have Thursday night games. I get it. But once again, how does this make any sense? This could easily be avoided. Easily be avoided. Divisional games should never be played where one team's coming off a short week.
I agree with that.
And so they shouldn't be played where one team's coming off a bye week. That's just idiotic. That's inherently unfair here. And once again, there'll be other instances besides the Cowboys. I'm sure this is not the first time this has happened this year, and probably not going to be the last either,
right,
knowing the NFL. But that being said, Cowboys have all sorts of issues here. Listen, we all know this. They're badly coached. You know, Jerry Jones is the shouldn't be involved with the team anywhere near as much as he is. Is the whoever sold him the bill of goods that they were going to be okay this year with the wide receivers coming into the season that they had and no tight end?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really? I mean, that pretty much tells you all you need to know about the Cowboys and their offensive, everything that's going on there. Dak Prescott, I'll say it again, he's not the man. I mean, he is the definition of someone who needs everything to go well around him to perform well.
Sure.
It did in year one. It didn't last year. It hasn't this year. He makes nobody better. Nobody's better with Dak Prescott. And it's sad, but that's the way it is. He's not. He can be a competent NFL quarterback if everything else is working around him, if the running game's working, if maybe more importantly the offensive line is working. And the offensive line for the Cowboys hasn't worked all year. Is it because Travis Frederick is out? Maybe. But he's not coming back. So it's not going to work. You know, Ezekiel Elliott's been – I've never been truly sold that he's this great back. I think he's a very good back, but not great anyway. But, he hasn't really done – other than his moments here and there, he hasn't had the big season. Cooper's there now, which will help.
Right.
And it should help. And the play-action pass game should work here. But the bottom line is this. They have too many holes to fill. Dallas is not a good team here. You look at their schedule. Think about this. They're, 3-5 at Philadelphia, at Atlanta. That's the next two games. You're staring at 3-7.
Yep.
Then you play Washington at home on Thanksgiving. Nah, that's a winnable game. And then you're at New Orleans. You're at 4-8. Philadelphia again, 4-9. And then you finish off with an easier schedule, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, and New York. But even you're not winning all three of those games. Maybe you win two of the three. So you're 6-10. And Dallas is staring at a 6-10 season. Yeah, you said it. And you traded away that number one pick. If they fall flat on their faces, it could be 5-11. That could be a top 10 pick. You just traded away for Amari Cooper. You could say all you want about how you were definitely going to pick a receiver first round of a draft anyway, and Cooper's better than anybody else. But you weren't taking someone like Amari Cooper.
You can say that. You shouldn't. You shouldn't say that.
It's Dallas. Yeah, they might have done it anyway.
Amazing.
You know, but bottom line is I think Philadelphia doesn't have much of a problem Sunday night against the Cowboys. They are coming off a bye. They're fresh. They're healthy. I think the only curiosity here is how they work Golden right. Tate into that
absolutely
offense. You know, everyone is assuming that Tate's going to wipe out the Cowboys because he always did when he was at Detroit. And that's true. But, you know, Zach Ertz patrols that middle too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Detroit didn't have that. They didn't have that tight end. So is it still going to be Ertz and Tate's going to run different routes or vice versa? So are they going to cannibalize each other? So I wonder how that's going to work in this game here. That's what I mean. I'm curious to see how they're going to work that out. And, of course, the run game for Philadelphia. Ugh, Jamal Adams, Clement, Smallwood, good luck there. If I had to pick one, Dan, it would be Jamal Adams, but I say that with no amount of confidence.
And that's another injury there with Darren Sproles aggravating, a hamstring during practice out and just a rough year for Sproles when it comes to injuries, but one less back we have to guess amongst when playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Any interest in this 7.5 line for -7.5 line for the Eagles or the over-under at 43.5?
Well, I can't touch the over-under because I'm not so sure about the Cowboys' mm-hmm. offense. If I had to, it would be the over. You know, I think Philadelphia's going to score 27 to 28 points. So can Dallas score 14 to 17, which is probably what I'll need here. Maybe. You know, that's just sad. That I'm worried about the Cowboys scoring 14 to 17. We're not talking about a great Philadelphia defense. Good. Mm-hmm. It's not great. They should be able to score 14 to 17, but I can't trust the Cowboys. I would lay the points. I think Philadelphia wins this game easy. So I think this is one of those games where – let's say I took Philadelphia on the over. The only way I think I can lose is if Dallas gets a late garbage time touchdown.
Sure.
You know, and then they get the over, which might get me the over and cost me the 7.5. I can see that happening to me, where one gets me one, but I lose the other here. But I like Philadelphia in the over.
A little hedging, maybe separate bets rather than the same ticket to make sure you cover off on that. I'm not really interested in this game other than it being the NFC East. So usually they are better contests, just the way these games shake out. But you make a great point about the scheduling, which I hadn't noticed, that's pretty asinine from the NFL, that you'd have one team coming off a bye and the other team coming off a short week. Never works out that well. Don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour, college football today. You'll want to stay tuned for that. My Scarlet Knights are playing Michigan today and will lose by about 70, I would assume. I think the line was at 39 or 33, some insane line. I'm taking Michigan all the way. I see them just running up the score on Rutgers, and it's going to be an ugly, ugly, ugly game. It's an ugly season for the Scarlet Knights, but I digress. Let's talk through some DFS. Touch on any wagers, George, that you have booked or that you are looking forward to doing so, and then we'll turn it over to the college football today, guys. So don't forget, we are with you every week here, Saturday morning, 8 to 10 on Fantasy Sports Today, the weekend edition. And you can always find George over on Twitter, at George Kurtz, myself, at Dan Strafford. So let's talk wagers first, then we'll transition into daily fantasy here. Anything that we didn't touch on or anything as we go through the show, maybe I convinced you of something. I had some sort of astute observation that has piqued your interest. No, that's probably not true. But what do you got from a wager perspective?
You know, I like some teases this week. You like playing teases?
I don't do it much.
Yeah, I usually do. You know, at least one a week. You know, do my 7 points for three teams. If I had to do a teases, which would take away seven, I'll take Philadelphia minus a half.
Okay.
You know, I can't see any way, shape, or form that the Cowboys win that game. None. I mean, really, I can't do it. How about the Rams minus two? Anybody seen the Seahawks win the game? I don't. And I was thinking about, KC minus 10. I'm not going to do that. I think that's when you do a tease, I think you really want to get closer to pick 'em games rather than doing something silly like that. And so I'm not going to do that. And I thought about the Falcons, but, you know, always a chance the Cleveland Browns could pull up an upset there. And I think the Falcons you'd only be getting plus a half there. So I'm not going to touch that. I think the other game I'm going to go for, if I was going to go for my little teaser, is Chargers. I'll say it again. I don't think the Raiders want to win. It's rare I've said that in the NFL, but they're not playing to win, right? They traded Mac. You traded Cooper. You released Bruce Irvin. They don't want to win. They want to lose. They're playing for that number one pick. They're obviously playing for that number one pick. They don't want to win. Chargers coming over by a good team. Chargers are in the race for the AFC West, more or less, a playoff spot here. I'll take the Chargers minus 3.5. I think they'll cover that fairly easily. So if I'm going to go with tease here, give me the Chargers, the Eagles, and the Rams.
All right. I dig it. I'm intrigued now. Maybe I will turn that way this weekend. I haven't done it much, but
they're fun.
They are fun. You're right. And you're right. Let's
never
go.
Win them, though.
Let's go to daily fantasy. I have DraftKings pulled up here. I know that's generally where you take a look as well. We've already talked about Patrick Mahomes from a cash game perspective. I get it. You get the floor and enjoy it. Beyond him, though, what are some of the quarterbacks you're looking to deploy this week if you're building multiple lineups?
All right. You mentioned Mahomes is going to be in my main lineup, but there are plenty of other guys. Philip Rivers, 6,000. I just said it. The Raiders aren't trying to win. I think Rivers has a monster game. I do. My only worry about Rivers would be, Dan, well, it could be 35-3 in the third quarter, and maybe he doesn't play.
Right.
You know, but then again, what I always say about that, though, well, 35, you already got your points. You should be good.
Right?
Should be good. So I'm not really as worried about that. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 5,900. He is what he is. He's not a very good NFL quarterback, but he puts up good fantasy points. All I care about. You know, so I think those are the two guys I'm looking at the most if I'm not going to go with my top choices here. Phillip Rivers, 6,000. Fitzpatrick, 5,900.
Is it a Blake Bortles week? 4,900.
God, I think he's so inconsistent. I do think the Indianapolis Colts are such a big. Could I throw him? I don't have him in any lineup now. Could I throw him in one just to, you know, play a, I call it a contrarian lineup? I was going to, all guys I can't stand just to see what's out there. Sure, but he won't be in any top lineups.
Is that the self-hate lineup? Is that how that works?
Right, yeah, pretty much. What am I doing lineup? How could I possibly put this guy in lineup?
That's fun. I kind of like Andrew Luck this week. I know Jacksonville's defense is up there, and you have some good secondary players there, but I like him as a contrarian play with T.Y. Hilton as a potential. And I get it. Like, I know Hilton's going up against Rent. Like, I get it. I understand it. Maybe even some Andrew Luck and Jack Doyle pairings in some lineups. But beyond that, I think Mahomes is absolutely fine. I think that Jared Goff is fine. Phillip Rivers is fine. Like, those are guys that you're going to see a pretty high ownership as we go through the day. Baker Mayfield, too, at 5,400, I think, has to at least be intriguing, along with a pairing with Jarvis Landry. Talk running backs here. Top end guys always in play. Gurley, Gordon, Kamara, Hunt. I know you're going to go Gurley and then build from there. I do think David Johnson is an intriguing play here. Tevin Coleman, I think, should be in a lot of lineups and pretty popular. Deion Lewis, obviously, has gotten his target share and touches up, and he's at 4,600. Who do you got at running back?
Well, you mentioned earlier in the show, and I agree with you, Aaron Jones, 5,000. Mm-hmm. Have a look at him here. Duke Johnson, 4,700. Yep. I know it's only been 1 week, but I have to assume, once again, I think they're going to need to score points. I think Atlanta's going to score almost at will here, so they're going to have to put the ball in the air. I think Duke Johnson could be a play here as well. I think the change from offensive coordinator certainly has helped him. Whatever reason it might be, it's helped him. You want to go with the revenge game with Deion Lewis? I'm on board there. I think he'll get more than his fair share of chances. I don't think Chris Carson plays. So right. Mike Davis at 4,300, yep. We're all going to be in on him. But and you know what? On the lower end guy I like, if you're looking for a lower end guy, Capri Bibbs, 3,600.
Okay.
It comes down to Chris Thompson's out. I think they're going to have to put the ball in the air. I don't know how much they're going to – I don't know how much traditional running they're going to be able to do. So I think passing in the flat could be their run game here. Capri Bibbs at 3,600, if I need to go cheap, will be somebody I look at.
All right, George, closing out the show here in a couple minutes, so let's get through some wide receivers. Obviously, top-end guys like Michael Thomas are going to be popular simply because of the volume. I do think, I said before, I think New Orleans has a somewhat subdued offensive game here, so I may not go. Michael Thomas still could have 100 yards, still could have a couple of scores. I love Brandon Cooks. I think he has some gigantic upside in this matchup. We mentioned MVS earlier. He's down to 5K. I think he has some big upside. The Tampa Bay wide receivers, DeSean Jackson and Godwin. What do you got here from wide receivers?
All right, looking at the cheaper guys here, how about Christian Kirk, 4,900? Sure. Once again, Arizona going to have to put the ball in the air. If Fitzgerald's only 5,400, I'm going to have one of these guys in most of my lineups. Not both, but one will be in my lineups because I just think Arizona's going to have to put the ball in the air, and I like the price point there. Amendola at 4,500. He's been paying off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, once again, they're going to have to throw the ball against Green Bay because they're going to be trailing here. Tyrell Williams at 4,500. Almost certainly in my lineups. I don't think the volume is going to be there, but I think I'd be shocked if he doesn't score at least one touchdown tomorrow.
Well, George, what's the game you're looking forward to watching most this weekend?
Well, the game this weekend, I don't think there's any truly great games. Agreed. Tomorrow. I mean, I guess New Orleans, Cincinnati are the two as far as the best game, NFL game. Two teams, you know, one division leader, one team in a wild card spot. That has to be the game that you're going to watch as far as that. As far as fantasy is concerned, man, that's which is always tends to pique my interest, is that Washington-Tampa Bay game, because I think a lot of points are going to be scored there. A lot of guys that are fantasy worthy here. As far as my own personal interest, it's in Indianapolis and Jacksonville. I have a lot of guys on Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's a game I'm actually looking forward to. It's seeing if Andrew Luck can have a big game against Jacksonville and Frank Reich can continue to pull the right strings with that offense as they move forward. The game I'm going to hate watch is the Bills-Jets. Being a Jets fan, this is the life I lead.
Oh, God, yes.
The thing is, I should actually get to see it up in Massachusetts, I think. I keep getting Steelers games when the Pats aren't on, but the Steelers aren't on, the Pats aren't on at one, so I should get Jets-Bills so I can sit and self-loathe as I watch it. And after today, when Rutgers loses by 70 to Michigan, it's going to be a fun football weekend for me, where the kids say, "Daddy, why are you crying on the couch? Why are you crying?" Because I made bad choices, girls. I made bad choices of the teams I root for. But with that said, we are closing up shop here. Don't forget College Football Today coming up at the top of the hour. You want to stay tuned for that. You can find George and I every weekend here, every Saturday, I should say, 8 a.m. for Fantasy Sports Today. You find George on the network all day tomorrow in the afternoon, bringing you updates and insight to the NFL schedule. And you find George throughout the week over on rotoexperts.com. Don't forget that. Of course, find us on Twitter at George Kurtz and at Dan Strafford. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back with you next week right here on Fantasy Sports Today.